I live in the now and experience everything complete and perfect this moment, the only moment there is. This is Instant Inspiration, Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California. This is a constant call for us here on the campus. I live in the now and experience everything complete, I experience everything complete and perfect this moment, the only moment there is. Our tendency is to live in the past and live in the future. Very seldom is our tendency to live in the present, because we're so worried about the future, we're so concerned about what has happened in the past, we're not thinking of the present. Now, the present really is pretty nice. That's where they say, smell the roses. That's where they say, take a little time to be yourself. I tell people that we live on 104 acres here in the mountains, and we have lots of meditation paths here. And the meditation paths wind in and out around the mountains and around the bushes and around the flowers. And every morning at 3 to 5 in the morning, it varies, I get up and then I take a walk around the mountain, around the valleys, on the meditation path, and just have a wonderful time. And as I take this walk and have a wonderful time, I'm taking time to sit down occasionally at the benches that I've placed here and there. And then I don't smell the roses, because there's no roses over there, but I do smell the freshness of the morning. The dew is still setting on the bench, so when I sit down, my pants get wet, and it's wonderful to look around, and I watch the footprints that are on the road. They tell me who's been there, whether it's a coyote, jaguar, or whether it's been a, or whether it's been one of the border patrol, you know, with their big feet. They have big feet. They always wear these big husky shoes that protect their ankles as they go walking through the uneven terrain in the middle of the night. They're a wise group. So this is living in the now. And this is what it's all about, living in the now. Enjoying every single moment of life, living in the now. So it's an ever-present thing, but it's something that it's up to you and up to me to do. I have a lot of friends that like to come and visit the path. And their first statement is, I have to walk. And I say, well, we can take you on the golf cart and whiz you around. And after I take them on the golf cart and whiz them around, they wish they'd walked. Because I drive very quickly. It's 15 miles an hour is all that the golf cart will do, going uphill and level. Going downhill, it goes a little more exciting. But the thing is, I drive them up and I make momentum as I'm going down the hill to get up the next hill and to get over the mountains. And we whiz along and I make quick turns because the path turns. It's just a walking path, but we made it wide enough for our golf carts. And I find it a lot of fun to drive quickly along the path there, and it's just really wonderful. And that's living in the now. That's living in the now. Now, I don't do that very often. I only do it when we have guests here who feel they don't want to walk, and after that they like to walk. But I love to walk. I love to walk the path, and I love to this morning I had quite a noise going on. On every side of me, I had some sort of a concert going on. These birds were yakking away. And on the south side on the road there, there were the birds. I walked right next to the tree, right next to the bushes that hid my head. And the birds were in there talking to each other. And they were just shouting back and forth. And they were caterwauling away. And not caterwauling, but birdlewalling. And they were just having such a good time. And I said to him, I said, hey, you know, what are you guys talking about? And he kept on talking. I didn't disturb them one little bit. And then as I walked along further, then I saw on both sides of the road, they were singing their song and talking. And I thought, my goodness, it's a busy morning this morning. And everybody was just singing their hearts out. It was a lovely morning. The dawn was breaking over the mountain. And as I looked out, I just thought to myself, boy, this is really great. And as I went out, it was maybe about 4:20 this morning when I went out, I had my flashlight, and I said, no, I don't need it. And it was still pitch black out, but I stood away from the house for maybe about 2 or 3 minutes, and my eyes accustomed to the darkness, and I was able to walk along perfectly well without the flashlight. And I saw everything. And I don't wear these great big boots that protect your ankles and protect your legs and stuff. I just wear very thin-soled moccasins that my feet just reach into the soil and hold the ground as I walk along in a very steady, wonderful way. And I go up and down hills, and I go in and out of bushes, and I go around all these crazy places like all of our monks on the campus do. And it is an exciting thing, but it's living in the now. It's living in the right this moment. It's not a matter of saying later, you know. Now, we had our handyman, Brian, and we told him that we'd like to have him clean some of the grass off of some of the paths because we've had a lot of rain recently and the grass just grew tremendously. And so he went in there and took out the doctor chopper and chopped up all the grass, but it was so high still, maybe about 3 or 4 inches high. And that it just is so much water collecting on that in the morning, it just gets all over your moccasins and turns them all into soggy leather, you know. So I'm going to have to either have him go out there and clean that out a little better, especially going out to the waterfall, or do it myself. No, I don't mind doing it myself, but it's just that I haven't done any of that sort of thing for a long time. And there's so many other things that are calling for me to do them that I'm reluctant to get started on something like that. I know how much I enjoy it. Mm. Because when you do it, it is so satisfying right in the now to see that grass cut right straight down to the ground there, especially on the path. And around the path, then have it so nice and make the weed whacker so it floats up in the air like this. And so it's just like you're going through a beautiful meadow which has it all the grass kept away from you so it doesn't sprinkle you with water as you're walking along. But it's a wonderful thing. Now, years ago, I always kept a rake on the path. And I would rake for half a mile maybe, and then I put the rake down. Then the next day I'd come along and I'd rake for another half mile. And pretty soon I had about the 4 or 5 miles around the 200 acres nicely raked. But it just took time, and I laid my rake down and no one ever bothered it. Nobody ever picked it up, nobody ever used it. But it was always there for me, and I was in tip-top shape. I was always just as trim and slim as you could want to be. It was kind of nice, but it was living in the now, doing in the now. Now, I have nothing against doing that in the now, but like I say, I have so many other things that I am doing in the now and getting done. I'll be leaving tomorrow morning at 9:20 approximately for the airport, or maybe 9 o'clock if Ellen has her way, and get there on time. And I'll be going to Farmington, New Mexico to give a series of talks. There'll be a lecture series, a seminar series on Saturday and on Sunday. So, as I go anywhere, I always live in the now. And as Randy, my host, said over there, he says, well, what are you going to talk about? And I said, well, what do you want me to talk about? And he says, well, everything you talk about sounds good, so you just choose your own subjects, you know. And I said, wonderful. And I said, we were just talking about some subjects today, immunity and so forth. That sounds like a lot of fun. And Ellen says, why don't you talk about the terrorist program and the Iraqi war and how these things are all balancing out in perfect divine order? And I said, well, that's a good idea, too. But I talk about what pleases me. And if I go to an audience, and I find that audience is not harmonious with this, I don't share it. If they're harmonious, well, whatever they're harmonious with is what I share. Mm-hmm. And if they're harmonious with healing, then we talk healing. If they're harmonious with abundance, then we talk abundance. If they feel superior as far as spiritual mastery goes, then we leave that alone. Because they have to walk their own path on that. I'm happy to share whatever my feelings are on these subjects, but I do not force my will, my way, or my philosophy on anyone. I just live it, share it whenever it's called for, and have a lot of fun. But I do it in the now. I don't do it looking for praise. I don't do it looking for applause. I don't do it looking for hearing later that they did wonderful things using the principle. I know that. I know that. I can point to anyone in the group, as any of us can, and we say, that person is going to use it, that person is going to use it, that person is going to use it. This person, they're not here. They're not with us. They're in the room, but they're not present. They're living with their problems. They're not even hearing the solutions, which are what they have come for. But they're so bundled up with yesterday and tomorrow that they're not here today learning what it is. And I'll say to everybody, now today is the only day there is. Today is the only day that's important. Pay attention to today. And that person will look up and say, yes, 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 and then go back to their worries and concerns about what they're doing. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to be in the first person present tense positive. First person present tense positive. First person present tense positive. We teach this in all of our courses. Write in the first person present tense positive. Don't write about the past, and you write about the past, but you write about it in the present. Don't write about the future, you write about the future, but you write about it in the present. And live in the present. The fact is, if you just leave the past and the future alone, and you live in the first person present tense positive now, you will be very happy. You will be very joyous. You'll be so delighted because all of a sudden, the problems that tomorrow brings aren't there, and the problems that yesterday left with you have disappeared too. And you're just having a great time. A great time. I told you I talked to my wife in Santa Cruz, and my son Mark had visited her, our son, and he chatted with her for about 2 hours. She said, it was the most wonderful talk I have had in just such a long time, and so wonderful, before he had to take off and go. And I said, well, what did you talk about? I haven't the slightest idea, but it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. It was just wonderful. She was living in the now in her talk with Mark. And the two of them were just babbling away in the now, probably telling all about Mark's projects and his programs and the things that he's doing and the things that Faith is doing too. And that's wonderful. But you see, when you live in the now, you talk in the now, and it's so exciting, you have so much fun, but you have no idea what you said. You have no idea what you talk about. You have no idea what things went through your mind, because you're so involved in the now, and you're having such a good time in the now. You're not thinking of yesterday, tomorrow, or you're not thinking of reporting what you said. And when you get a little further on your master path, you'll remember what you said, but it won't matter. But you will remember. And you'll remember because it will be useful in guiding you to work with those that you talk about and you talk to and that you're thinking about. It's a wonderful thing. But the wonderful thing about a master, or master consciousness at least, is they never forget. People think they forget and they make it look like they forget, but they never forget. The more a master consciousness can make itself look like a human, the easier it is to get along with the humans around it. But the more a master consciousness is a master consciousness, which is an easy thing to do, the more a master consciousness is a master consciousness, he's totally unaffected, untouched, non-judgmental, unpossessed by the people he's with. They may have wars. It doesn't bother him. They may have pestilence. It doesn't bother him. They may have arguments. And they may have happiness, unconditional love. But even that doesn't bother him, because he sees only what he is, or she sees only what she is, as they look at the world about them. And as they look at the world about them, they see it only as a glorious thing. And there goes the word of Jesus, where he said, what would you of me? When people came to him for healing, Well, can't you see, Jesus? I got a broken leg. I got a smashed face. I got this. No. All those things are perfectly okay if that's what you want. Whatever you want in your world is okay. I don't want them. I want a whole face. Well, right now, click, your face is whole and perfect. Now, how do you conceive your face is whole and perfect? A lot of people go for cosmetic surgery on their faces, and they come away with gorgeous pushes, you know. They look just wonderful. But people will come up to them and say, well, Mary, you look wonderful, fantastic. Oh, but I feel so terrible. Oh, Mary, knock it off. You're a new person now. You got a new face. You know? Have a new attitude. Have a new life. Just because you have cosmetic surgery doesn't mean it's going to change you. Mm-hmm. If you're going to hang on to the old attitudes that you had, then you're going to live in that bondage that you had. And that's why cosmic surgery doesn't really do a lot for Hussein and a few other people who might have it done, because they're still that same person inside who will shine forth. And that old geschichte, that old face that they had before, will shine right out, right through that cosmic surgery. It doesn't matter, because they will do that. Well, people who lived together a long time looked like each other, you know. But if your attitude in life made your face what it is now, then you change your face and your attitude in life will replace your face just like you had it before. And it won't change, even with all that expensive surgery. We know a number of people who had cosmetic surgery. cosmetic surgery. And we have seen them look gorgeous, but within a very short time, their face looks like a mask. And then pretty soon, their face is empty, useless. The doctors say that there's a certain medicine that you can have a shot in your face once or twice a year, and it takes away all your wrinkles. Mm-hmm. But you look expressionless. You look expressionless. It takes away all of the mobilization of your face, so that your face is just a mask. And you can have it. You can have it. It's a very wonderful thing. It takes 2 seconds to have the shot. It costs about $300-$400, and it has a name beginning with a B, I think it is. Borax or something like that. But it's a very simple thing, and it works very well, but you look like your frozen face. And there are people who have this, and their children say, Mama, why don't you smile? There's no smile muscles going there, you know. There's no frown muscles. There's no wrinkle muscles. And so, you see, we can have anything we want in life. But we pay a high price when we go through the human way. When we go through the divine way, everything is beautiful. There was a master, as we call him, a Hindu master. I don't recall his name offhand. But he's a very astute man. And all of a sudden, his face became, you know, perfect, without a single wrinkle on his face. And his body was fat, so he had no wrinkles on his body. They filled out. But he had no wrinkles on his face. And everyone said, wow, what a master. No wrinkles on his face. This was just when that stuff was coming out. And everyone's saying, wow, what a master, what a fantastic guy. And I said, yes, he is a fantastic guy. But I suspect there's more there than meets the eye. Because if he were a master in that area, he would surely have done it much sooner. And he would surely do it in such a way that his body is blessed by it. Because he just looked emotionless, you know, because his skin was very relaxed. There's no wrinkles, there's no nothing, but it really wasn't relaxed. It was tight. And quite likely he had that treatment. Mm-hmm. Now, masters can go do that too, you know, just for the fun of it. But think for yourself. I live in the now and experience everything complete and perfect this moment, the only moment there is. I love living in the now. And I have a lot of fun because an instant later, I'm on another journey. An instant later, I'm on another journey. And people say, well, what about it? And I say, hey, yeah, that was so many instants ago. Remember, join me in the now because it's a lot of fun. I love you, I love you, I love you. Have a wonderful now.